Welcome to class six. It's our last one, but not forever. So, I know. I don't know when. Soon. I want to do, I'm looking at doing some different kind of workshop settings. So, working on relationships, healing from loss, working with joy. So, I'm putting that all together. In any case, you can always, you know, give me a call or an email and we can stay in contact. But usually we do a class once per quarter. So for sure, in the second quarter, we'll be doing another class series. So I'll keep you all posted. If you really want to stay informed, at the end of the handout, there's an area to sign up for my newsletter. And I suggest that you do that because sometimes it might not make it on the church website or, you know, sometimes we do things at the last minute. This last time, I didn't get the okay until the day before it needed to be published and I was on vacation. So sometimes things don't get on the church website. But if you sign up for my newsletter, I won't bother you with lots of stuff, you know, just send you some good stuff. And you'll always be informed on upcoming classes because I do some things just online for those of you, you know, that like to participate that way too. So I am playing with the idea of doing a lunchtime class, like a teleclass. So you can log on at lunch, we can have a class, have some meditation, and then you can go back to work or go back to school or finish your day. So all of that's in the works. Sound good? We're going to have so much fun tonight because we're totally going to talk about death. Right? I know. It's exciting. I posted it on Facebook and I, you know, but you guys showed up anyway, so it's good. This is good stuff. So we're going to begin the way that we always begin. And I love the look on your faces. Some of you were like, oh, no. That means you're in the perfect place. Because we're going to transform our fear and our anxiety, because we all have it to some degree about death and dying and this, that, and the other. We're going to transform that into being more joyful. Does that sound good? Right? So good. All right. Feet flat on the floor, eyes closed, chin tilted slightly down so that the back of your neck is nice and long. I know. Let's do three ha breaths together, everyone. Inhale. And exhale. Inhaling. And one more time, inhaling. And notice the thoughts that are moving through your mental screen. Just notice what wants to take your attention away from this moment. Notice the thoughts that are about the future. What's coming up? What do you have to do tomorrow? Notice the thoughts that are about the past. Notice any images that are moving through your mental screen. And notice how you're feeling. Good, and
Bring your attention into the body. Bring your attention down into the tailbone. And in your mind's eye, imagine a golden thread moving up the length of your spine. Imagine the golden thread moving up very slowly vertebrae by vertebrae. Imagine you can feel your body becoming longer, becoming taller. Imagine you can feel the spine becoming energized. Good. And imagine the golden thread now moving up the cervical spine, and imagine the neck becoming longer. Roll your shoulders up to the bottoms of your ears and then let them drop. Good. And imagine now this golden thread moving up and out of the crown of your head. And imagine it moving all the way up towards the ceiling. Maybe you can feel it tugging at the crown of the head, or maybe you feel some tingling at the crown of the head as the golden thread moves up and up. Good, and now bring your attention back down, down into the crown of the head. Down the length of your spine. Notice how your muscles begin to relax, begin to descend towards the earth as your attention moves downward and inward. Taking your attention now to your bottom. Notice if you're leaning to the left or to the right. Go ahead and scoot around a little bit in your seat so that you're sitting on both cheeks evenly. Unclench the body and allow the chair to support your weight completely. Beautiful. And now take your attention down the backs of your legs, down the hamstrings, the backs of your knees, your calves, your heels. Trace the bottoms of your feet with your awareness. Feel how your feet are connected to the floor. Feel the ground beneath you. And now take your attention down into the earth. imagine traveling all the way down to the center of the earth. Imagine feeling your connection to the earth. Feeling even more grounded. Feeling supported. Knowing that the earth is supporting you in your practice. Maybe you can let go. And you can let go. You can let go of a thought or a belief, a relationship, a situation. You can let go into the earth, away from the body mind, and you can be free. So just allow that to happen. Beautiful. And now bring your attention to your face. Notice if you're frowning. Notice any tension in the face. Go ahead and lift your eyebrows up, lift them all the way up, and then let them drop and consciously smooth the skin of the forehead. Good. Take your attention into your eyes. And let the eyes be soft so that your upper and lower lids are barely touching. Imagine you can feel the eyes resting in the socket. Good. Imagine you can feel the optic nerves resting. Imagine you can feel the brain resting in the skull. Imagine you can feel the nervous system resting in the spine. Beautiful. And bringing your attention now back to your eyes. Bringing your attention now into your jaw. Notice if you've been clenching your teeth. If there's tension in the jaw or pressure in the ears, open up the mouth and move the lower jaw around gently and release the tension. Release the pressure from the ears. Go ahead and close the mouth. Place the tip of your tongue at the ridge just behind your two front teeth. Part your lips slightly. And smile just slightly. Opening up the face and opening up your heart. Bringing your attention over the sides of the neck and the shoulders and the upper back. Take your attention down the length of your arms. over the biceps and the triceps, the elbows, the forearms, and the wrists. Let the arms be heavy. Taking your attention now into your hands. Notice if there's any tension in the hands. And then go ahead and make fists. Clench up the hands really tightly and then let them go. Wiggle the fingers around. Beautiful. And place your hands either palms up or palms down on your thighs. Take your attention now over the throat and the chest, over the belly and the pelvis, down the thighs, the knees, the shins, the ankles, and the tops of the feet, the tips of the toes. Feel your entire body in the chair. Feel your breath in the body. Feel the breath as it glides in and out through your nose. Follow the breath down into your chest and feel the gentle rise and fall of the chest. Follow the breath down into the belly and feel the gentle rise and fall of the belly. And now follow the breath from the tip of your nose all the way down into the belly. And when you exhale, follow the breath back up and out of the nose. Inhaling and follow the breath all the way from the tip of the nose, all the way down into the belly. You can imagine there's just a straight movement. And when you exhale, exhale through the nose. The breath leaves the belly collapses and moves all the way out through the nose. Inhale. And imagine you can feel the breath as it moves all the way down into the belly and feel it as it leaves the body. Beautiful. Follow the breath and go slowly so that you're inhaling very slowly, following the breath from the tip of your nose down into the belly. And then exhale, slowly and mindfully and deeply following the breath as it leaves the body. And again, inhaling. Beautiful, and exhaling. And this time on the inhale, follow the breath down, all the way down to the bottoms of your feet. Imagine you can breathe all the way down to the bottoms of your feet. And when you exhale, imagine feeling the breath leaving the body. And again, inhaling all the way down to the bottoms of your feet. And exhale, feel the breath leave the body. Inhaling, feeling the breath as it comes in through the nose, breathing all the way down, deep down to the bottoms of your feet. And exhaling deeply, imagine you can feel that breath leaving the body. Inhale, and imagine as you inhale, as you take that breath, as you feel it coming into the body, that you're breathing in this incredible light from the universe. It fills the entire body from the top of your head to the tips of your toes. And when you exhale, exhale that light, but imagine that it's moving back into the universe, back into the universal ocean. Inhale, and you're breathing in the universe. You're breathing in life and light, love and beauty, whatever that is for you. And when you exhale, exhale love and light and beauty, exhale it back into the universe. Beautiful, inhaling that light, feeling it as it fills the body. And exhale all of that light, all of that love, the space, exhale it back into the universe. Do this a few more times on your own, just feeling that breath, taking it in, and then giving it back. Give your breath back to the universe. And inhale the universe. Beautiful. And now as you're inhaling the universe, filling up your body, filling up the cells, healing the spirit, When you exhale and you give your breath, your light, your energy back to the universe, say to yourself, thank you. Breathing in the gift of life. Exhaling and saying thank you. Inhaling. And exhaling, thank you. Inhaling. And exhaling, thank you for, what are you thankful for? Breathe it out into the universe. Inhaling. And what are you thankful for? Breathe it out. And again. And again, thank you. Fill the universe with your gratitude, with your thanks, with your energy, and in return, receive. Things can you be grateful for? What do you have to give thanks for? Now let that go and bring your attention back into your center, back into the heart. And just breathe. Just be. taking a nice, long, deep, conscious, connective breath all the way down into the earth. Deep, deep into the earth. And then sigh it out, coming all the way back into the room. And I just want you to take a moment before we open up our eyes and start to get engaged. Just feel the vibration in the body for giving all of that thanks, all of that gratitude. And I just want you to imagine that the universe is giving gratitude to you. What is the universe grateful to you for? First thing that comes in your mind is right. Let the universe appreciate you. Let the universe appreciate and love you for. And receive that. Receive that appreciation. Good. Taking another nice, long, deep inhale all the way down to the center of the earth. And then sigh it out. Very gently opening up the eyes just a little bit and gaze down at the floor. Let the light that's in the room, let it filter in, bringing you back up. Open up your eyes all the way, wiggle fingers and toes, and give yourself a hug, because now you're used to doing it, and then give yourself another hug, and I expect you to hug yourself daily. Hey, are you guys looking at yourselves in the mirror and saying you're a hot tamale? Oh, some of us are and some of us aren't. That's my mission in life, for everybody to look at themselves in the mirror and say, you are a hot tamale. You got to do it because it feels good. And sometimes it feels good just to be silly, you know. Come on. How you guys doing? That was a good one, right? We're going to do another gratitude meditation at the end. It just felt appropriate. And for me, I really like that meditation because I feel like the universe is breathing me, you know. So anyways, hopefully you were, the universe showed its gratitude to you. You know, what did the universe thank you for? And maybe it was something small. Maybe it was for, you know, smiling at somebody or giving a thank you card or the universe, you know, what, or maybe it was a big thing. And the first thing that comes into your mind is the right thing, even if it seems absurd, you know, for thank you for taking the spider and putting it outside instead of snapping it or something. I don't know, you know. But we are at one with the universe, and it's too often when we have those insights, like the universe is thinking me, the first thing that came to your mind, oftentimes what we'll do is we'll say, oh, that's just silly. That's just my imagination. Well, so what? Your imaginations create worlds, you know, and where does imagination come from anyway? Isn't that the universal language, a sign, symbol, imagination? I mean, people have wild imaginings, and it's the universe speaking to them and to us. So, you know, your imagination is part of the process of visioning. You can't vision yourself or your world how you would like it to be without your imagination. And sometimes it's just playing. It's not about, oh, I have to go and create this. Sometimes it's just play, you know. So when you're in meditation and you take a moment to do something like this where you're envisioning, you know, the universe giving gratitude to you, or you have a spontaneous vision, don't just say, that's my imagination. Thank you. You know, well, thank you. Well, thank you. And then it's just this whole appreciation cycle that just keeps going and going, and then you'll just go and feel really good about your day. How's that? Imagination is very important, and if you catch yourself or somebody else saying that's your imagination, just stop. You know, don't dismiss the universe. Don't dismiss the universe. Just stop, take a deep breath, and take it in. Can you guys do that? I would appreciate it if you did. All right. So, happiness, contentment, and meaning. This is part two. We did a lot of stuff, a lot of really groovy stuff last week. If you missed it, it's okay. Because we're just going to jump right into part two, and you're exactly where you need to be.
So we talked about rather than striving for happiness is to maybe think about contentment. And the reason is happiness, like anger, like other emotions, is temporary. I'm angry now, but I'll be happy later. I'm happy now, but I might be indifferent later. It seems to wax and wane with whatever is going on, whatever is pleasing. But you can be content regardless of what else is going on around you. Sometimes I think we see that as somebody with an even temperament, that no matter what happens, you know, something bad happens, they don't completely freak out and fall apart. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, having, being even, not even raw, but just, you know, life is good. Life is for me. You know, I'm swimming in the ocean of it. Yes, stuff happens, and yet I am content. One of my favorite authors, Michael Singer, who I've quoted a few times in here, you know, he talks about, can you be happy no matter what happens to you? And I think he means contentment, not the emotion of, I'm so happy, you know, but that contentment, can you be content no matter what? Can you feel connected no matter what? That's a very high spiritual calling, to want to be content no matter what. It's not something that is really supported by our culture to be content no matter what. And I'm going to make some differences here. So if something happens, your lover breaks up with you or leaves you or something, you're supposed to be angry. That's what the culture says. How can you be content that this person left? Well, I'm not happy that they left, you know, on one hand. I mean, sure, but I'm still content with my life. I'm still content with the way things are. I'm not saying that this is easy. This is a high spiritual calling to look for and to find contentment. One of the ways in which we do that is to find meaning in suffering, meaning in our pain. Do you understand? When we understand that there is meaning, right, you know, for whatever, the meaning is personal. It's personal to you. We can find our ground and we can find that contentment, that balance. Now, being content doesn't mean that we are in denial either. Oh, I'm not sad that they left. It's fine. It's perfectly fine. I'm totally content. That's not what that means. You know, it's funny because I was talking to my sister today, and I told you my sister's my spiritual go-to person, but sometimes she's just my sister and annoying. Okay. So, you know, today I was telling her something, and she said, you shouldn't feel that way. Now, yeah. And I could feel my annoyance growing, and so I just took a deep breath, and I noticed it, and then I changed the subject because it wasn't anything that needed a deep discussion. But it did get me thinking about when we are not allowed to have our feelings, whatever they are. Because if you are aware of your discontent, if you're aware of your unhappiness, what part of you is aware of that? Do you understand? There's a part that is watching the fluctuation of the emotion. That part is the part that is contentment. Right? So, no, I'm not thrilled that my lover left and took all my money. Not happy about that. Cleaned out the bank account. That didn't really happen, but it's a very dramatic example. You know, took everything. Closed the business. I've heard stories like that. Gambled away everything. No, I feel very angry. And there's still this underlying contentment in the background of my life. And that underlying contentment in the background of your life is what is, it's the ground of being. It's what prevents you from going, oh my God, it's all over. It's so dark, it's so bleak, I'm never going to get out of this. You guys know what I mean? Where you descend so deeply, you don't know how you're going to crawl your way back out. When we're in that state, we've lost our connection to the ground of our being. Yeah? How we connect with the ground of being is through the breath, is through meditation, really and truly, is through your spiritual practice, is through watching your thoughts and your feelings, not necessarily to do anything about them, but there's a separation between me that is the watcher and what I am watching. That's why meditation is so profound. It's not just about the breathing. The breathing lowers the blood pressure. It releases, you know, dopamine and serotonin. And there's all, you know, there's all these studies about what it does to us on a physical level. But on a deeper spiritual level, it allows us to see ourselves as we are, apart from the thinking, apart from the feeling. And I promise you, if you haven't already had this happen, you will be in meditation and all of a sudden you'll go, oh, that's what they're talking about. But you have to do it in order to have that experience. Does this make sense? How you guys doing? Feeling good? Feeling groovy? Feeling like hot tamale? Maybe. All right, we're getting there. All right, so pain versus suffering. I always like to remind us of this. Pain is part of being here. So there's something about being a spiritual practitioner where we think we should never have any pain. Painful. My lover left, took all my money, ran away, was my best friend. I know. It didn't really happen, but let's pretend that it did. That could be very painful. I cut myself. I broke my arm. That's painful. I lost somebody close to me. That's very painful. Nobody told you that you weren't going to have pain. Pain is part of life. And I love to tell this story. It's an article that I read about a condition where the person doesn't feel pain. They don't have the pain receptors. And so there's this whole support group for the parents and for the children that suffer from this, because it's really scary. If they hurt themselves, they don't have pain to tell them that something's wrong. So there was one part of the story where, you know, the mom and the daughter are cooking and the daughter is stirring the pot of pasta and boiling water, and she drops the spoon in and she puts her hand in boiling water and pulls it out, and then she goes, uh-oh, I think I wasn't supposed to do that. She couldn't feel it, you know, and she had then third-degree burns from sticking her bare arm in a pot of boiling water. So one of the best lines from the doctor was, these children do not have the wisdom of pain to learn from. And I love that, because so often when we're talking about happiness, when we're talking about feeling our joy and even our contentment, that means that is a state without pain. That is a state where we are on easy street. Because if I'm on easy street, I'm going to be happy all the time. I don't have that person talking to me and all up in my business and in my space and using my makeup and using, I get annoyed with my children when I find them, they've used my makeup. I have teenagers, they wear my clothes, you know. Well, if that didn't happen, then I would be perfectly happy all the time. There's something about that where, but there's no wisdom. Remember last week and the weeks before, we talked about how consciousness needs opposition in order to expand. There is wisdom in your pain. There is wisdom in your pain. When you feel it and you're conscious of it and you breathe into it, you are no longer a slave to it. Pain without your awareness of it turns into suffering. It turns into a story. It turns into all kinds of hyperbole. And, you know, and guessing about what that other person is thinking and feeling and doing. And this is why they did this to me. That's suffering. There is wisdom in your pain. There's no wisdom in suffering. Suffering is the story. He left with the woman that was my best friend. My children are wearing my jeans to school. I don't have any jeans now to wear. This is a fact. This is what happened. And it's annoying and it's painful. To say that my children are wearing my jeans and that it means something intrinsically bad about me or them would be absurd, right? My children are wearing my jeans, therefore they are criminals because they didn't ask me. And they're going to go, I could just already see it, they're on the road to hell. You know, it's absurd. Now I've made up a story about what happened, and I have judgment. And then is that the building block for a good relationship with my kids or one that's contentious? Right? It's the same thing with if, you know, he was a dirty scoundrel and she was never a good friend and I should have known it and, you know, maybe I wasn't good enough and I'm so stupid and why didn't I see this coming and maybe I did and I should start meditating because I'm not in tune with my intuition and, you know, and he's schizophrenic and now there's all of this negative energy around what happened. And how long do you think I could go on and tell that story? 4 years. I'm going to tell you what happened to me. I'm going to tell you what happened. And I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to report it to the police. And then I'm going to, you know, and I'm going to talk, and I'm going to go, and it's a whole story. And now you're lost. You guys following me? So it's always about feeling what is happening in the moment, taking a breath, acknowledging it, and then making a choice for your good. That's the thing about pain, too. Pain tells us the pot is hot. It's hot. So maybe use a different tool. The pain can tell you to move in a different direction. Move in the direction of your joy. Good riddance. You know, it's like maybe it wasn't the right person for you anyways, obviously, because he left. So, you know, what can I create now from this space? I love Byron Katie talks about that. You know, what positive thing can you, what can you do now that you couldn't do before that's kind of exciting? Well, I was reading one book where the woman, I don't know if it was a book or a movie, she wanted to eat M&Ms in bed. But she couldn't do that with her partner because she would make noise and it would irritate him. He left. She could eat M&Ms and bed. It was fun. Right? So that's another way to pivot your attention away from the story and into, well, what can I do now? What can I do now? Making sense? You guys on board? Everybody take a deep breath. Let it out. You are the protagonist in your story. I like this. This is going to be fun. Ultimately, you're the hero in your story. Okay? I've given you something on The Hero's Journey by Joseph Campbell, and you can read that on your own. Every hero needs a villain. And what's interesting is I like to hear people complain about the people in their lives and about the situations in their lives. Because that problem, whether it's a health issue or what, a person, is the villain. You can't be the hero on some level without having had that experience. I was watching a movie by on Tony Robbins. It's called I'm Not Your Guru. Has anybody seen it? It's really moving. You'll cry. I cry the whole thing. Really good. And he talks about his contentious relationship with his mother. She's very abusive. And he said, Anne, I wouldn't be the man I am today without her being who she is. He took that and went on his hero's journey with it and brought back with him a beautiful teaching that has helped, I think, a lot of people. Some of us have a villain. We all have one, a villain. And we refuse the call. We refuse the call to change. We refuse the call to step into our power and to be the hero, and we create suffering. Because we will always be the victim instead of the hero. I promise you, if you can see the person that antagonized you, I'm talking about the big antagonism, the big issue that seems to come up again and again. If you can see it in this way and say, this is part of my hero's journey. Now, what can I do? What can I become? How can I move with this? How can I help others? How can I serve? How can I take this burden on so that somebody else doesn't have to suffer the way that I did? That person ceases to be the villain, and you are free. And it can happen like that. We have minor characters, minor villains, and there'll always be some kind of annoyance, but we all have that one big thing, don't we? The thing that shouldn't have happened, but it did. The thing that makes us say, why me? It's not fair. I remember when I was going through my divorce, and remember I told you my mother died, it all happened at the same time. Part of what drove me is, if I can move out of this, I will show other people how to do it. If I can do it, other people can do it too, and I'm gonna show them how. And I looked for people that did it too. Other people who had issues but have a happy story. Do you guys understand? That's how we transform pain. That's how we move out of suffering. I was having a long conversation with a friend of mine today, and she was talking about a friend that's, you know, she's using that language. There's nothing wrong with it, complaining. You know, this is what's going on, and this isn't fair, and, you know, and I want to do this. And I've known her for a very long time. And I said, this sounds like, I know sometimes you don't want me to be your friend, because I'm like, this sounds like this person and this person and this person and this person. Do you see a pattern? Yes, I do. But, there's always a but. Yeah, but. This isn't like that. The rules are the rules are the rules. There is a pattern, and who is the common denominator? So the villain sometimes wears different masks. They show up as different people. You know, I'm not going to deal with it here. I'm going to create more chaos. I'm refusing the call. So then that person or that situation comes back. Have you guys ever had that? It's like, this seems oddly familiar. Yeah. Have you been refusing the call? So her go-to place is to go away and to find a safe place, which probably was a wise thing to do as a child, was to go and to find a safe place and disengage. But it's not working for her as an adult. So guess what do? The opposite. But it's to engage consciously. Remember we talked about that last week. One with God is a majority. When you do this consciously, when you recognize this is my opportunity to begin to take my journey, my hero's journey consciously, you are now in the realm of the divine. It doesn't have to be a light coming down. It's just that simple awareness. If this pattern is not working for me anymore, and I don't have to tell you what to say. I didn't have to tell her what to say. She has to use her words, and she has to engage if she wants to break the pattern. Does this make sense? So you are the hero, or you can be the victim in your story. I mean, the choice is completely up to you, and then you'll have another lifetime and you can do it again. It's fabulous. It's going to be fun. And again, and again, and again. Do you guys have any questions about this? You guys good? You guys thinking about that one thing? Right? Thinking about that one thing, and what is it that I am doing that is contributing to this pattern? because ultimately the victim wants you or wants the other person or wants the situation to be different. As soon as you want the situation to change for you to feel contentment, joy, space, and freedom, you have no power. You have no power. I have my own problems. You want me to change to make you happy? I can't even change to make me happy. You understand what I'm saying? That's a really heavy burden for another person or for a whole system. We want the whole system to change. You know? This illness, whatever it is, it has to shift before I can be content, before I can feel joy, before I can feel my connection with life. You have no power. If you think, what is it that I am doing that is contributing to this, which is the question that I posed to my friend, and who honestly had a hard time thinking about it because she was so entrenched in that victim mindset for a moment. What is it that I am doing that is contributing to that? That's where your power is. And the universe rushes in because you are one with God in that moment. Being one with God is just about you being conscious and you move in and out of it. I mean, we're always one with God or one with universe. But when we are conscious, there's another energy that's propelling us. All of a sudden, I call them Zen moments. I'll be with my kids and they'll tell me something. And somehow, it's a Zen moment. And if I take my time, the universe will speak through me to the kids. You know, because my mom brain wants to go in another direction. Like, what? You understand what I'm saying? And usually it's about something very deep and very personal to them. And you have those Zen moments too. I know you do. Where you're like, well, who says that? Where does that come from? That wasn't like me. That was you being conscious. That was you stepping out of the power struggle. Remember that from last week? What is the ultimate villain? Death. Right? Most of us, I think all of us on some level, are afraid to contemplate it. And the only reason why I bring it up, there's an article that I gave you guys last week about the, I can't remember the name of it, but it's the guy that wants to help us to die better, I think there's something like that, and he has 3 months. Beautiful article about meaning and about courage. I really encourage you to read it because it is, he's just a regular person. You know, and he's done some remarkable things. But we are afraid to contemplate death in our culture. We don't want to look at it, and we don't want to talk about it. But one of the things that I really like about that story and also what Michael Singer talks about is that death makes life scarce. And scarcity makes it precious. If we didn't have the scarcity, we wouldn't value it. But at the same time, because we're so unconscious that we're all headed in that direction, we don't appreciate the life that we have quite enough. You understand what I'm saying? So death is part of finding contentment and meaning. Not because there's not enough time left, but because the time that you have is so precious. And you are so amazing. What did the universe give you gratitude for? What did the universe thank you for? You know, sometimes it's just the little things. So it's good to contemplate death and dying. And what happens after? Sometimes, you know, to contemplate. There really is no death. But there is a time in which this experience will end. But if you think about it this way, every time you go to sleep, your experience has ended. And yet you wake up and you dream. And there's a new day. And depending on your state of mind, it can be completely new every time. So in that regard, your experience just changes. And it changes. And it changes. So without the realization that everything is shifting and changing and on some level dying, we can't fully appreciate life. If you knew that you only had today, sometimes I ask myself this question, I'm like, it's not really fair because I would just quit my job and just run and tell everybody I love them and, you know, and eat wild things, I don't know, just have like a big party every day. But really, what would you do if you knew, if you really were aware, not that it's going to happen tomorrow, but that, you know, that you're in the awareness of it, what would you do? Who would you talk to? When I was going through the divorce, you know, the divorce does a lot of things to your family, not just your immediate family, but your extended family. And I was surprised because it brought up everybody's stuff, not just my stuff. Sometimes I'm like, you are really overreacting. That's about, you know, I just, you know, you just know it's like, wow, it's just so out of proportion. It brought up everybody's stuff and there was turmoil for everyone because the whole family unit was shifting and changing. Parts of it were dying and needing to be reborn again. So there was a lot of conflict, not just between my now ex-husband, but between my mother and my sister and my dad. His way of dealing with it is to just like not really engage that deeply. So there was all of this stuff going on. And right, probably in, I think, September, October, I finally moved in with my parents after leaving the house. It's a whole long story I'll say about another time. But I'll just let you know, I moved in, this is 2014, October, around there. And my mother and I had reconciled, and it was really, sometimes she would get up, and I'd be working at the table, and she would get up and she would bring her coffee, and she would sit at the end of the table because she just wanted to be with me. And she wouldn't talk, because that would annoy me, because I was trying to work. And I'm so grateful that I had that time because she was gone in November. You understand what I'm saying? What would you do? What would you do at the time? What are you going to do when you go home tonight? Who are you going to call? I have amazing clients, and one of my clients hadn't talked to one of her siblings in 5 years until this week. That time, you know, it's precious. So if you really are committed to your own contentment, clean up your karma. And you guys know what I mean by karma. I mean the heaviness. The person that you know you need to talk to, but you don't want to talk to them. Because you know, on all that kind of drama, that when you step out of the power struggle, meaning remember, this is our relationship body, this is me, and this is you. Most of our relationships are about being right and being wrong, okay? So if I want to be right, I want to win the argument, I'm not going to call her because she never apologized to me, darn it, and I'm right. In order for me to be right, what do you have to be? Wrong. How does it feel to be wrong? Good or bad? It feels kind of crappy. How does it feel to lose? Like you lost, right? It does not feel good. So in order for me to feel good and to feel up, you have to feel bad. That's what this power struggle is about. In order for me to be right, you have to be wrong, which throws the energy body off balance. This is the old paradigm. When you understand, I don't want to be in the power struggle, I need to clear up the negative energy that I'm carrying in this relationship. I don't need you to change, because we all know the secret. Once you clean this up, they will change because your perception of them will change. But they're still the person that they always were. So one of the ways in which you do this and you start the conversation is you talk about yourself. Do you owe them an apology? It might be, we haven't spoken for 5 years, and that makes me very, and I'm really sad about that. And this is how I'm feeling, and I just want you to know, blah, 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 blah. You might be surprised by what you hear. You might not be surprised. They might say exactly what you thought they were going to say. Who cares? Because you've cleaned it up. You've stepped out of the power struggle and you've stepped into universal power, and you're allowing that to speak for you on your behalf. You and I all have the power to do this. You do it all the time. When you give great advice to a friend, you're like, I don't even know where that came from, but there you go, because it was awesome. Right? So it's cleaning that up so then you are free. This is important. It's an important part of your spiritual and your heroic journey. Does anybody have any questions?
We don't.
We're good? That's a big one, right? Everybody take a deep breath and let it out. You cannot tell enough people that you love them. You can't. And you can't tell them enough. Even if they go, stop it. My nephew used to say, he's going to kiss me, go, stop it, Auntie. You know, come on. You can't tell people enough that you love them. That's good karma. All right. So, to create the life you want and you need, this is what this whole series is about. Did you guys write down your intention? For those of you who are here at the very beginning of class, I asked you to write down, what is the thing that you wanted to create? I'm hoping that you are closer to what that vision is, because that's what it requires. Creation requires vision. Without a vision, the people will perish. It's a saying. I read it, that somebody said it. I thought they said it in the Bible. Who cares? It's a good one. You have to have a vision whenever you want to create something new. And we are creative beings. So there's this balance between being just being and being content with what's happening in this moment, being content with your bowl of soup, being content with the way things are with the company. My mother was content to sit across from me and just be together. But you can't always be just sitting all the time. Sometimes, you know, you want to get up and you want to create something. You want to create something new at work or something new in your life, right? It requires vision. So you need a vision. The next thing you need to do, and we talked about this, I think, in class 3 or 4, is to remove the obstacles. The universe is one big yes machine. Isn't that wonderful? The universe is one big yes machine, and it is always on your side. Always and always on your side. It's here for you and for me. And we're here for it. So it's always on your side. You say, I want to do this. And the universe says, that sounds great. I love it. I like the way you're thinking. And then your subconscious mind, remember you were talking about the subconscious mind, first few classes, says, I really like that idea. What about that? We have to deal with this stuff first. That's when your obstacles, your stuff is going to start to come up. That's when the people are going to start coming out of the closet that irritate you. If you say, I want to make more money and be financially responsible, and the universe says, whee, financial responsibility, the unconscious mind is going to say, what are we going to do about your poverty consciousness? Because we can't do all of that. So your issues around money are going to start to come up if you say you want more money. Does this make sense? So you need to address the obstacles. That's step two. Have a vision. Have the vision and let the obstacles come up. The next thing is to take inspired action. And one of my teachers, you have the vision, you start moving in that direction. So I like that too. You have a vision, you start moving in that direction, and the obstacles are going to begin to present themselves. You are on a hero's journey. There's no hero's journey without obstacles. What are you overcoming? That's a really boring story. Right? That's boring. There's no obstacles. There's no growth. There's no pain. There's no villains. There's no growth. What'd you come here for? Right? I have a vision. I take inspired action. My obstacles, internal and external, are going to come up. The external obstacles are still internal. It's a reflection of what's going on the inside. How do you clean this up? With your intention. Intention is very important. If your vision is, which by the way, I want to talk about this again. If your vision is to make more money so you'll have more security, right? Remember, the ego wants security. I'm drawing a triangle for those of us that are listening at home. So at the top of the triangle is security. To the right, it wants power. And to the left, it wants love and acceptance. On a very human level, on a basic level, every human being deserves to have their basic needs met. You know, security, freedom of choice to choose what they want to do, what they want to be, who they want to be in their life, and love. When we pursue these pathologically, then we're in ego. We become imbalanced. If I want to make money because I am afraid of being poor, do I have a positive or a negative intention? Right. Am I creating positive or negative karma? Karma means action. That's all it means. It's not the universe punishing you. It's the energy that you're going to receive back from your intention. Did you guys follow that? The energy that you're going to receive back from your intention is what karma is. You can have very positive actions and you will receive that back. So, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That doesn't mean I'm going to be nice to you, so I expect you to be nice to me back. That's not how that works. It's not quid pro quo, because that's manipulation. I'm going to be good and kind and nice because it feels so good to be in that state of consciousness, and I receive that back. I told you about the telemarketer that cussed at me underneath his breath, and I laughed. Universe, but if I was in a different state of mind, that could have been very upsetting. So if I'm looking for money because I'm afraid of being poor and I'm chasing security, money will elude me. No matter how much I have of it, I'll have a tendency to lose it. It will be stressful. You know, people will only want to be with me because of my money. There's all kinds of drama around the money. So before you take inspired action, what are your intentions? Why is it that you want this thing that you're wanting? This is the secret. This is the real secret. Be very mindful of your intentions. Sometimes we get married for security. You know, sometimes we take jobs for security. Every time I've done that, taken a job just for security, it's always ended badly. Because it really was a negative intention. Because my need for security was pathological. Do you understand? We need to work to earn money to pay our rent. That's a fact of the reality that we live in for most people, for the vast majority of people. But if I have if I had a very insecure upbringing and grew up beneath the poverty line, and that was very scary, and my environment was insecure, then I am chasing security. It's a deep need and a fear, and so my action is bathed in fear. Can you guys feel the difference? It's the same thing with love and acceptance and with power. Why do you want the thing that you want? Well, because then everybody will like me and I'll be a good person. Is that a positive intention or is that a negative intention? Right. What am I going to receive back? People who probably only like me conditionally when I do nice things for them. And so the love and the acceptance and the depth that I'm looking for will elude me, as long as that is my intention. Everybody take a deep breath. Sigh it out. Vision, inspired action, right? Letting your stuff come up. This is the key. Health, wealth, happiness, or contentment. You guys good? You guys feeling it? Are you a hot tamale? Yes, thank you. Finally. Oh my gosh, it went by so fast. I'm gonna do one more meditation and then we're done. Or somebody has a question. We're feeling good. You guys got lots of homework, lots of stuff to do, lots of self-hugs. Yeah, lots of self-hugs. My jacket's a little tight. That's okay. All right, we're gonna do another meditation on gratitude, and then we're gonna sit in silence together for a while so we can just enjoy being in one another's presence. Feet flat on the floor, eyes closed, chin tilted slightly down. So that the back of your neck is nice and long. Relaxing your face. Feeling your beautiful body in the chair. Feeling your feet connected to the floor. Feeling the breath in the body. Imagine the breath moving all the way down to the bottoms of your feet. Imagine the breath moving all the way down to the center of the earth. Good, and getting nice and grounded as you breathe all the way down into the center of the earth. Beautiful, and just breathe. Placing your palms up or down on your thighs. And imagine a beautiful light coming from the heavens, from the sky, and just let that light just kind of pour all around you and maybe into the crown of your head. Just loving you and surrounding you and healing, whatever you most need in this moment.
Beautiful. And go ahead and put both hands over your heart. Breathing into the heart center. Good. And between the ages of being very, very small, being a toddler and maybe being 5 years old, what are you most grateful for? What were you most grateful for that time period? One image. Maybe it was a bike or a friend, cookie. Feel that gratitude. What gave you a tickle? What made you smile? Moving forward up to the age of 10, what were you most grateful for? What brought you joy? What made you smile? And breathe into that. Moving up to about the age of 15 or 17, what is the one thing that you find that you can connect to that you were so grateful for as a teenager? Moving up, maybe up to age 25. What were you grateful for? What made you smile? What brought you joy? Could be a small thing or a big thing. Something that made you proud. Just connect with that image. Up the timeline, maybe to about 35. So up until that time, what are you grateful for? Connect to it, breathe into it. What made you smile? What brought you joy? And moving up the timeline up until now, what has been wonderful? What has brought you joy? What has made you smile? And just connect with the energy of it. And just breathe, just be in that state of joy, that state of gratitude and connectedness. Seeing all the wonderful things that have happened to you so far. And know that life is good. Taking a nice deep breath all the way down to the center of the earth. And sigh it out. Bringing your hands in prayer position right at the level of your chest. Thank you, thank you, thank you for coming to class, for taking this time out for yourself. For doing all the good in the world that you're doing. Namaste, everyone. Namaste. Thank you. We're done.